श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे
हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे
हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे
हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
हरे कृष्णा कृष्णा हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम
जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना सिरावन चारी यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना सिरावन चारी हरे कृष्णा कृष्णा कृष्ण हरे 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 राम हरे
Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare.
కలియుగ పావన హరినామ సంకీర్తనకి అనంత కోటి వైష్ణవ వృందకి శ్రీల ప్రభుపాదకి ఓం అజ్ఞాన తమిరంధస్య జ్ఞానాంజన శలాకయా చక్షుఃవన్మీలితం యేన తస్మై శ్రీ గురవే నమః. నమో విష్ణుపాదాయ కృష్ణప్రేష్టాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామినితి నామినే. నమస్తే సారస్వతే దేవే గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాదీ పాశ్చాత్య దేశ తారిణే వాంఛాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపా సింధుభ్య ఏవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్తవృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే.
హరే కృష్ణ. వి వెల్కమ్ ఆల్ ఆఫ్ యూ టు ది నెక్టర్ ఆఫ్ ఇన్స్ట్రక్షన్ సెషన్ టుడే. సో ఇన్ ద ఫస్ట్ శ్లోక వీ హ్యాడ్ డన్ హాఫ్ ఆఫ్ ఇట్ ఇన్ ద ప్రీవియస్ వీక్స్. టుడే విల్ కంప్లీట్ ద ఫస్ట్ శ్లోక. Out of the six vegams, vacha vegam, manasa vegam, krodha vegam, those three we had finished. In today's class, we will finish the next three, jihva vegam, udara vegam and upastha vegam. We will complete them today. Nevertheless, I want to quickly show you a revision of what we did in next 5 minutes, so that we will not lose touch with what we did in the previous weeks. I won't be allotting time to explain the first three vegams over again. We have already done it very elaborately. So now we want to proceed with the jihva vegam, udara vegam, upastha vegam today. So I will quickly show you the previous notes. Okay. So this is the verse. We'll recite the shloka. Huh? వాచో వేగం మనస క్రోధ వేగం జిహ్వా వేగముదరోపస్థ వేగం ఏతాన్ వేగాన్ యో విషహేత ధీరః సర్వామపి మాం పృథివీం సశిష్యాత్. యు సీ, శ్రీ రూప గోస్వామి పాద్ సేస్ హియర్, ఇఫ్ సంబడి హస్ కాన్క్వర్డ్ ది సిక్స్ అర్జెస్, you know, they can make disciples all over the world, he says. So it's called Vijita Shadguna. Now, Vijita Shadguna means one has conquered the six urges, or they're called Jitendriya, meaning they have conquered the senses or the urges in the body. So in the beginning I told you there are certain vegams which should be controlled, certain vegams should not be controlled. Like for example, passing, if you get the pressure to pass urine, you should pass urine. If you get the pressure to pass stool, you should pass stool. If you get some pressure in the nose, you want to blow off the nose and remove the mucus, one should remove it. If one gets a pressure to vomit, then one should vomit. These are all called mala, the impurities in the body, and they have to be thrown out. And one should keep the body fresh by bathing, everything. But there are other vegams which the Shastras say should not be fulfilled. If you fulfill them, it's like pouring petrol in fire. If you pour petrol in fire, it's only going to make the situation more worse. It will not help us to become peaceful and stable and spiritually progressive. Rather, fulfilling these urges is going to become very detrimental to our spiritual life. So therefore, these six vegams are very important to discuss about. Just like we say, when the fever becomes 103 or 104 degree Fahrenheit. So it's not good, because 107 degree Fahrenheit is maranajvaram. The death will come and strike a person if it is 107 degree Fahrenheit. So we have to reduce the temperature, but we don't say reduce temperature to zero. We say you can reduce temperature to 98.6 degree Fahrenheit. In the same manner, Shastras don't teach us that you make your material program zero. We don't say that. You have a material body and you are a spirit soul, Atma, sitting in a material body. So as long as the material body is there, there will be some urges, some needs will be there. And we have to fulfill those needs without hurting the progress of the soul. So Prabhupada writes in one purport that one should fulfill the demands of the mind and senses without aggravating the senses. For example, I should eat in such a way that my hunger is pacified. But I should not eat in such a way that my tongue gets aggravated to tend to overeat. So then I should not aggravate the tongue by my eating. For example, you go to some shops, they will have heaps of ground nuts, which are fried with some chili powder or something like that, red powder. Sometimes ground nut has got a red color coating also. You've seen that? With which they fry. You know kara shave? Kara shave is actually made of besan, long stick-like thing. They make it in oil and keep it. Pakoda. So when you go to such shops, they will just pick up a handful and give it to you. Please eat it. Do you think they are foolish people? They are giving you free? Because they know very well, as soon as you put it in the mouth, immediately what happens? The mouth starts salivating. And when you eat it, the next moment you will tell him, okay, take this money, pack up a big quantity, 1 kilo for me. They know that, therefore they give you a little bit. That means they have successfully agitated your tongue and made you purchase and eat a very oily stuff like a pakoda or bhaji or a karashev and things like that, which actually when they go into your belly, they will burn your belly. You can see that. So that is not the right way of eating. We should not eat in such a way, we should not engage the tongue in such a way that you agitate the tongue. Rather, you should calm the tongue and the belly by eating. So therefore today we will talk about that Jihva Vegam, Udara Vegam and Upastha Vegam. We will talk about it today, those three. So the first three I spoke it, I'll just show you the slides. Like you see here, Vachavegam urge to speak. People are talking many useless nonsensical talks. Like here people are gossiping, people are rumor mongering, people are fault finding. All this comes in Vachavegam. People are unable to control their urge to speak, they're hurting others. And then just like the snake captures the frog, similarly a person who is loudly talking all useless talks, he gets into arguments and debates and fault-finding and blasphemy. At last he is caught by the death coming in the form of a snake. It's a welcoming snake, Prabhupada says. And the Mayavadis and Buddhists, they say do the opposite. That means do a mauna vrata. So that is also useless. The self-imposed silence is not the answer. Like here you see below Srila Prabhupada, he spoke abundantly, many things he spoke, but he always used his speech for glorifying Krishna, and that's the right solution. Maunam charanti vijane na pararta nishta. Prahlad Maharaj says, those jnanis and Buddhists and others who go to the forest for their own self-deliverance, mukti or moksha, svama mukti, he says they don't care for the masses, but bhakta means he preaches Krishna's glories to liberate them and send them back to Vaikuntha. So that speech is, like even Prahlad is speaking, but he is speaking about Krishna. And also all the literature, like newspaper, cinema magazines, they are all compared to the garbage dump where the crows sit and take out dirty things. Whereas the books like Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, they are compared to clean lakes, Manasarovar lake, where the swans are delightfully living. So the swans are compared to the pure devotees, while the crows are compared to the materialists who delight in material literature. So when we don't control this urges, then life becomes inauspicious. Therefore one should do tapasya. That was it, first one. Then manasa vegam, the mind's demands. The mind cannot negate the thoughts, or you can't create a vacuum in the mind. So the yoga, like this is a yogi, Agni, that are sitting in the forest and trying to create negate all the desires in the mind, but he is becoming attracted to Purvachiti, who is Apsara, who is coming. So instead of that, one should always think of Krishna. Like here you see this chariot of the body, we discussed it elaborately last time. All the five senses are running in five directions, and the ropes are compared to the mind, and the driver is intelligence. Look at the weak driver, he is unable to control the ropes. Therefore, when our intelligence is not strengthened by Shastric study, then we don't have Viveka Buddhi. When the Viveka Buddhi is not alert, then the mind is weak, senses are weak, then our soul is in trouble, you see. He is toppled from the vehicle. And see, look at the wheels of the vehicle going in all directions. So, therefore, we have to control the mind by remembrance of Krishna. So, the fickle mind can be... So, I elaborately explained these things. That idle man's mind is the devil's workshop. So, we have to meditate on Krishna's lotus feet, and that is easily made by chanting and dancing, congregational chanting of the holy name. One can completely take mind away from Maya. And then Manasavegam, I also talked elaborately last time about spiritual mental absorption. Like Markandeya Rishi is absorbed in the Vattapatra Shai Krishna, and our Bhishma Pitama is absorbed in the Parthasarathi Krishna, Hanuman is absorbed in Sitaram, the gopis are absorbed in Brajendra Nandan Krishna. In this way, every great pure devotee had an absorption. Like you see, Madhvacharya was attracted to Udupi Krishna, Ramanuja was attracted to Ranganath, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was attracted to Jagannath. Correct, no? So we all need to become attracted to the deity form of the Lord, and also His beautiful qualities and pastimes. And when our mind will become spiritually absorbed, it is very easy to take the mind away, and the vegam, the urge of the mind, can be easily stopped. Anger. Regarding the anger, we see these are pictures which show you the right use of anger, correct application of anger, which is Krishna incited Arjuna to become angry and fight the battle. Dharma Yuddha. Hanuman set Lanka on fire. And Lord Chaitanya took the Vishnu form and then took the chakra and was about to kill Jagai Madai, who made an assassination attempt on our Nityananda by beating his head with a pot. So in this way, if a devotee personally doesn't take any kind of insult, even if somebody insults a devotee, he says, it's all right, I am a fallen soul. But if a devotee, if someone hurts another devotee, or he is insulting another devotee, insulting the Lord, then a devotee will raise objection. So this also we showed you this Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur's commentary, Anuvritti. In the two words he used, Abhirodha Priti and Virodha Yukta Krodha. Actually, they two are two sides of the same coin. Abhirodha Priti actually means too much attachment. I devoted a lot of time to explain this last time. Material attachment. And karmis, jnanis, yogis, they all have material attachments. They are always dreaming for their selfish enjoyment. And when the enjoyment is not obtained, or one is frustrated, then one becomes angry. So this it's coming from raga and dvesha. Raga is attachment, dvesha is hatred. So these two keep a person always angry. Like you will see, when one who, like our Kaikeyi, became attached to making her son into the next king, so she became very angry on Dasharath, and she demanded Dasharath to send Ram to forest. You will see that. Similarly, the Kritadyuti's co-wives, you know, they became angry with the king that he is not paying attention to us. So he is paying attention to his wife who has a child. We are all barren women. So they poison the child and kill the child. You will see that. So frustrated anger comes out as envy. Very strong mental attachments also. Like you see, Dhritarashtra was attached to Duryodhana. So when Bhima came, Bhima was about to go in the front. Krishna told him, you don't go. Push one iron statue. So when iron statue was pushed, when Dhritarashtra embraced the iron statue, what happened? It broke into pieces. So you can imagine how much hatred Dhritarashtra had for Bhima. And that is proportionately opposite to his attachment for Duryodhana. You can see that. So therefore attachment and hatred are like two-edged dagger. They go together. Therefore one should know in this world extreme material attachment and material aversion, they both are dangerous in this world. And therefore the anger should be also controlled. Anger is like fire. So it should be restrained and moderately used, especially when it is to be used. Like a teacher may use a little anger towards a student, or parents may use it towards the children, or a boss may use towards the subordinate in a very measured way, calibrated way, and that too for a constructive purpose. See, if anger is used for a destructive purpose, like then it goes to rajoguna to tamoguna. But anger can be utilized for a constructive purpose, like disciplining a child, disciplining a student very nicely. Like for example, Prithu Maharaj could successfully discipline the earth who was trying to escape from him, in ultimately yielding many great beneficial things for all the praja. And that is the right use of anger. We should do right use of anger, not the wrong use of anger. Now we are going ahead today. Jihva Vegam. Yeah. So Jihva Vegam, you, by seeing the picture only you can understand what is Jihva Vegam. Somebody, he is surely suffering with his obesity. Uncontrollable fatness in the body. Certainly many people would have given him advice to go to a dietitian. Actually many people know what is their diet, but they don't stick to it. People often end up due to the titillation of the tongue. They end up eating junk foods, a large quantity of foods, and one may suffer from obesity. Please read it.
Control the urge by supplying prasad.
Yeah. So now you may have a question, how is it by eating prasad, the urge will be subdued? That science should be understood. In the Path of Bhakti Yoga, the great science of regulation is explained. For example, if you eat too much sweet, you get addicted to eating more and more. Endlessly your quantity keeps on increasing until you get various diseases in the body. Now, how to counter that? So the Shastras say that for that you have to regulate. Make it a policy that you will eat only one piece. Whenever any sweet is there, just one piece of gulab jamun, one piece of son babadi, whatever they give. And even though it may be available in abundant quantity, they may come for a second round, third round, fourth round, you don't take it. You know that it has to be very taken in a regulated way. And those who regulate it in order to control their senses and advance in spiritual life, gradually the senses come under control. A stage will come and you will say even no to that everyday sweet. You may say, okay, once in a week I'll take, or once in a couple of weeks I'll take. And even though it may be available. So therefore one has to regulate. Regulation gradually brings things under control. But we don't, like for example in a gas cylinder we have a regulator. You regulate the LPG, the liquefied petroleum gas coming, and then you close it. Don't allow too much to come. If too much comes, there may be fire accident. So you take only whatever is, and it's very constructive. Little gas you allow, and then nice cooking happens in the kitchen. Similarly, regulated life means you will have a very constructive spiritual life. Just like in a gas cylinder, it's very helpful. For that matter, in this world, wherever there is regulation and discipline and punctuality and self-control, these type of things are taught from the beginning. Then one eventually you will see they become very powerful in future in terms of becoming a sense-controlled person. You know, our Stanford University conducted one test. Yes, I'll show you one video. You want to put this on? Yeah.
Okay, sit in that chair. All right, here's the deal. Marshmallow, for you. You can either wait, and I'll give you another one if you wait, or you can eat it now. When I come back, I'll give you another one, so then you'll have two. But stay in here and stay in the chair till I come back, okay? All right.
So the test is here. This was actually conducted by Stanford University way back in 1950. Again, I heard that they did the same in 1990 also again for some more batch of children. But it's a pretty old test actually, they have done it. So, they took a batch of children, and as you heard her say, that you know, I'm giving you one piece now, 20 minutes later I'll come, after giving to all the other children. Till then if you can wait, then you get two. If you finish before that, that's all you got. Yeah. So it goes on like this. Just although they are eager to eat it, they love it. And,
I'm gonna go do something and then I'll come back.
It smells yummy.
Goes on like this. I'll show you. Some children immediately started eating. You can see that. Someone started eating already.
Alright, so I'm gonna leave and then I'll come back, okay? So you can either eat it right now or you can wait. Either way, okay?
She has started already. But some children didn't even think about it.
Good? You did?
You got both. So, as you saw this test now, one interesting observation they made, when these children, those who persisted, it's a very remarkable observation, that after they went to the teenage, they tested the same children again. They found that the children who could resist the temptation and wait for both the pieces to come later, after 20 minutes, so those children, when it came to academics, they were moderate in balancing the play time and study time. When it came to married life, they could tolerate the adversities in family life, and instead of ending up in a divorce, even in America, they could continue to live as husband and wife for a long time, for all their life. In professional life also, while dealing with their subordinates or with their superiors, they practiced self-control, without breaking down or without burning out people or something. Huh? So because of their ability to restrain themselves. So they were amazed. That means what the child exhibits at the age of 5 or 6, when you teach them self-control at that age, it reflects in their behavior when they become 15, 20, later on. So, in the same manner, in the path of Bhakti Yoga, to eat when Krishna arranges for prasadam, that's called regulation. For example, if you have 3 times prasadam, you take morning and afternoon and night. And in between you don't eat anything, or you may drink some fruit juice or something. But you don't just keep eating anything that comes your way. Imagine you eat at 8 o'clock some breakfast and 1 o'clock you are supposed to eat lunch. If 10 o'clock somebody gives a son babdi and you eat it. And that is how the diseases begin. Some eatable somebody brings in between, you say, oh, I should not deny prasad. Okay, somebody brings son babdi from Giriraj, Govardhan. Somebody brings laddu from Balaji. Somebody brings kaja from Jagannath Puri. Isn't it? Different devotees come and give you different things and you think, oh, prasadam I should not deny. See, prasadam we should not deny. You can take it and keep it with you and distribute to others and you just take one small piece. Because prasadam you can just break one piece. You can put that much enough. You are not saying no. And you can distribute it to others. Which Purana says everything you only should eat. Ask yourself. So therefore, that means we should eat only when Krishna has arranged for us in the morning, afternoon, evening. 3 times a day, and we have to know the purpose of prasad. The purpose of eating prasad is twofold. One is, we want to purify the heart and advance towards Krishna. That's one goal. Another goal is to get some strength in the body, to get some energy, to render some service. Isn't it? This is the goal of prasad. So it should be regulated. And you have to eat at scheduled times. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Prasadam Praya says, the Sharira Vidya Jal. In that song he says, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, oh my dear Lord Krishna, this body has a very great complex network of senses. And these senses are all absorbed in ignorance, avidya. Avidya Jal, he says. And he says, all the senses in this body are chasing after maya and they are very difficult to control. And he says, but there is one way to control these senses, which is by putting Krishna Prasad, he says, which is your mercy in the form of Prasad. See, Bhagavad Gita is also Krishna's mercy in the form of a book. And deity is also Krishna's mercy in the form of Krishna's form. Holy name is also a mercy in the form of a name, in the form of a song or in the form of a name, like that. Devotee is also Krishna's mercy in the form of a devotee. In the same manner, Prasadam is one particular form of Krishna. So, when one eats prasad in a very regulated way, at appropriate time, not eating every now and then, why people get obesity like this? Because they sit in a sofa and keep watching TV and they keep on crunching some potato chips. They keep eating some cookies. They keep eating some junk foods like pastries and people keep eating such kinds of things. So eventually they suddenly find body size swelling up. So he says that by eating the prasadam given by you, we can easily conquer our senses. So I'll show you that jewel also next slide. I'll show you that also. See, this is a famous verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Please also have to repeat. Jivara lala saye iti uti dhaye. शिष्णोदर परायण कृष्ण नहीं पाए. Since he's becoming नारायण परायण और कृष्ण परायण, he becomes शिष्ण उदर परायण. शिष्ण means genitals and उदर means belly. A person becomes a person who delights in belly, filling of the belly and enjoying the genitals, sex pleasure. Who? A person who is jivara lalasai iti utida. He actually runs here and there and looking for more and more and more fine and palatable foods. See, our tongue wants quality food and belly wants quantity of food. Both quality and quantity. Both of them are greedy for. Belly says, give me more, give me more, give me more. It wants to fill up a very big belly. And tongue says, give me fine foods, fine foods. Don't just give me halwa, give me jalebi, give me shrikhand, huh? You know, and give me son babdi. Huh? So tongue is asking, give me rasagulla, huh? Give me condensed milk. Huh? Like that, it's asking more and more very fine type of foods the tongue wants. And therefore, whenever Mahaprasad comes from the Lord's altar, you know, there is rice, there is dal, there is sabji, all of them are kept. Nobody wants to touch it. People only want some fine Mahaprasad, which will titillate their tongue. Correct, no? They directly go to that and people pounce on it practically. Huh? Actually, why the jivas are like this? One time I had gone to Calcutta, they had a goshala. So I wanted to feed something to the cows. So I took some hay and I went and gave it to the cows. Not a single cow was coming towards me. You know, they would turn around and see, oh hey, they would turn their face away. I was surprised, are cows like hay very much? Why they are not eating? Then I called my friend Acharyadipo and asked him, I want to feed them some hay, they are not coming near. Oh Prabhu, we have huge quantity of hay inside only available. In one corner, they can go and eat as much as they want. And then he said, this is like rice dal sabji. It's all available very easily. Now he said, now I'll give you something for which they will come running, you see. So then he, in a basket, he brought good gola, you know, good is jaggery. So when it's all round ones. So as soon as I took some with me, 4-5, and I showed my hand, all of them came. All the cow pushing each other, everybody says, I will take first. All of them are trying to grab that. They particularly, along with the good gola, they're swallowing my finger also. I have to take out my finger. They were immediately grabbing. Then I gave 5-6 of it from different cows I gave them. Others are pushing and all. Then I asked him for more. He said, no, Prabhu, it's not good for them. Little bit is all right. But they're not supposed to eat. Just like children want cocoa chocolates. For the cows also, too much good is not good for them. Only name is good. But eating too much good is not good for them. He said. But that's what they want. See, items which are not so good, that's what everybody wants. And hay is like chapati, sabji, rice, dal, that nobody wants. Correct? People, everybody want to eat fine items because of the tongue they want. So, Prabhupada says, you put some sugar particles in the 20th story building above. Even the ants from ground will come there. How they have such a long nose, only God knows, who has given them such senses. Wherever you put sugar particles, ants come. You see, no? How they climb up and come. It's a miraculous thing. No? So in this way, you will find there is a strong urge for eating, whether it be ant, whether it be a cow, whether it be a human being. But in human body, we should know that human form of life is given not for eating purpose. Imagine one boy joined in IIT. After joining in IIT, one of his hobby was to search for hotels with very fine foods. In IIT itself, you will see him awake at 12 o'clock midnight when they make this idli, dosa, sambar, chutney and all they'll make, South Indian and Punjabi and different items. So he and his friend would go here, there, and they hardly studied. There was getting into IIT is difficult, but he got into IIT. But what he did all time? Searching for food, eating here, he would go out to continental hotels. Sometimes he would go 25 kilometers distance to eat out in a hotel and come back. And he would spend a lot of money also. So now the 4 years BTEC period got over, he was not yet passed. So he spent 2 more years. In 7th year they gave him NFT, not fit for technical education. And they sent him home. He came with a big obesity after eating all junk foods and everything. Father asked, Are, I sent you to IIT to become a graduate. What happened? The goal for which he joined IIT was forgotten. That is not the goal. The goal is to study. But he diverted from the goal of study to eating. There are other boys in IIT. You will see them day in and day out. They will be playing cricket. Or they will be playing volleyball, football. You can play a little bit, but that's not the goal of joining IIT. That's called extracurricular activities. Correct, no? Extra means what? Something else is main. Something. So study is the main thing. Other activities are extracurricular. Similarly, you will find, for example, the main food is staple food. What is a staple food? Is it rice, dal, sabji, chapati? That should be maximum quantity we should take. And little sweet is given. along with that. And everybody is given only some limited piece, correct? Now, take one piece or two pieces, whatever. But somebody goes into kitchen and asks, can I get two more? Can I get four more? Or one make a great program that I will carry a dozen gulab jamuns and keep in my locker and eat. Because this is not what we are supposed to do. If somebody runs, even in a ISKCON temple, if somebody goes to the deity room, sometimes the deity plate comes out, there are people who pounce on it and grab and put everything in a box, stainless steel box or something, and then go and keep it in their room, and then they eat later on. So in this way, grihasthas, brahmacharis, everybody wants mahaprasad if they are going to grab and take. And we don't know, actually we are inviting danger, you understand? No? Although it is very tasty, just like for a cocoa chocolate for a child, is it delicious or not? But is it good for the child? No, like Guru Gola is not good for the cow. Same way, Mahaprasad, we have to respect it, but moderately, little bit one should take, but limitlessly one becomes very greedy for it. So the word greedy he is saying. So one nice example is given in the Bhagavatam, that when a fish in the ocean, by Krishna's arrangement, gets many type of foods in the ocean itself. There are many things that the fish eats, which is available where? Within the waters of the ocean. And just like for us, there are fruits in the tree and grains in the garden, it's available. Similarly for the animals in the forest, like the tiger and lion and all, there are smaller animals kept in the same forest. They are also born, they live, and there is a competition and they get their prey. Similarly, for you will find for fishes in the water, God has arranged. But a fish can become greedy for what? If they put a meaty bait, a fisherman puts, although he's getting food here, he looks at that. Oh, that is more attractive. So when he puts his mouth there, like that, he pulls it out. Then his life is lost. Same way we should think about eating fine foods. Luchichini, puri, bali. He says, luchichini, like for example, eating chapati is good. Puri is fine. It's very fine food. Puran poli? That is even more fine, isn't it? And then wanting more and more fine foods, so which has lot of sugar, lot of maida, very crispy, very delicious. Like imagine you take one samosa, but somebody wants to take six samosas. You take more and more, so it's crispy, along with the masala inside. So when one takes too much, then one is called greedy person, greedy. Greedy for the tongue. One can be greedy for the eyes. Like somebody is a married man, he has his wife and children, but he is not satisfied. Now he is looking at another, some college going girl with his eyes, that means it is greed for the eyes. It's a greed for the eyes. Yeah. Similarly, tongue, everybody is given rice, raat, sabji, chapati, and one or two small sweets are given. Little mahaprasad everybody gets. Be happy with that. But going to a place where it is available in a bigger quantity and fighting for it shamelessly, or using your position to grab and keep with you and eat more, then that is how one becomes iti uti dhai, he says. Shishnodara parayana shishna. So he shows that how is one Shishnodara parayana. If you see this picture, there is tongue, there is belly, there is genitals, and all are in one line. Therefore, if you don't control the tongue, then belly is not controlled. When belly is not controlled, then genitals are not controlled. So they are in one line. Therefore, one has to develop a higher taste in Krishna consciousness and not be greedy. Okay, please read it.
Urge of tongue, jihva vegam, problem. To eat palatable dishes in restaurant and sweetmeat shops, unoffered foods, eating at unscheduled times.
You see, when people are not yet devotees, sometimes a devotee boy may invite all his college classmates, say 30-40 friends, to come to Govindas in ISKCON. And then everybody comes to Govindas hotel, and then Govindas has a big variety of prasad. He can give them a feast and so many type of sweets and ice creams and sweetmeats and everything, and they can go and pick up this, pick up that, and people enjoy. Sometimes they spend thousands of rupees putting up a very big dinner feast for the friends, which is a very good idea. But imagine some of those boys, they became devotees, they started taking darshan in the temple and chanting holy name, and they started wearing dhoti kurta, Mataji started wearing sari. They became serious in spiritual life. Then again and again going to Govindas may not be a very good idea. Because Govindas says, what type of foods? Very fine foods. Very costly and very fine type of foods. So then they may get in temple khichdi, and they may get even other items of pulav, kadi, rasamalai. Occasionally they may get sweets like that. Otherwise, simple prasad, rice, dal, sabji, chapati. At home we eat. Once in a while if they go, it's all right. But in Govindas also nowadays, many of the ISKCON Govindas, we are not able to get 16 rounder devotees. And we are not getting waiters who are pakka devotees. We are not getting cooks who are pakka devotees. Maybe the top man may be initiated devotee. But then the work, he gets it done from other people. Many of them are not properly situated devotees. Some are chanting 4 rounds. And we have found some of these employees also have their mobiles where they hear cinema songs. Many of the cinema songs they hear. And they also watch cinema movies. And many times we have warned them, remember, you are living in the temple campus, near the temple, and you are supposed to be a devotee, and this food is being sold. So you people are supposed to be pure, and they are not Mahatmas, you know, they are not great devotees. They are still from the world making and earning some salary and maintaining a family, and they have a lower nature. So therefore, Vishayera Anna Kaila Malina Hayaman, he says, and the Malinahayamana Krishnera Nasmaran, he says. That means if you eat food which is mixed with the bad consciousness of such fellows, then the result is what? Na Krishnera Smaran. You cannot think of Krishna. One example I'll tell you. When Srila Prabhupada came to Pune along with some, 8-10 devotees, he came. So one very rich gentleman hosted Prabhupada in his house. And Prabhupada decided to stay 3 days in his house. Prabhupada, that morning, evening, I'll do programs. And this man is going to help me make a temple in Pune, ISKCON temple. So he stayed in his house, a big, very, very big, huge house, many, many rooms in the top, and devotees were given separate rooms to stay in the top. They all stayed very happily. And he had made a big, big feast, very high quality, like Punjabi feast, Punjabi diet. He had made a lot of sweets and everything. So our devotees who went with Prabhupada had a big feast, they ate everything. And night they slept, and morning Prabhupada got up for Mangalarti. There was one hall where Prabhupada told them to make it into temple hall, where we can have the morning program. And Prabhupada went, he was the only one, morning. So, and Prabhupada looked there on the side where devotees were all sleeping, and the snoring sound was heard, like that. And Prabhupada called the leader, come here. So leader was ready, he took a bath and came. Prabhupada said, what is happening to devotees? And the he said, Prabhupada, they are snoring. Prabhupada said, yes, they are snoring, get them up. You are saying you are snoring, wake them up. And immediately devotee ran and woke them up, and slowly, slowly, one by one they got and took bath, and they came by 6:37. And Prabhupada called the leader and said, why? What is happening? Why these people are like this? And he said, Prabhupada, they had a very big feast yesterday. So they have slept for a longer time. And Prabhupada said, no. Not only the big feast, he said, because they have eaten the kind of karmi food, these people are not proper devotees. They have little piety, but our devotees don't have sufficient spiritual strength to be able to digest the karma coming from food cooked by non-devotees. Of course, Prabhupada-like persons can burn away all the impurities in the food, just like the sun can burn away the, sun can actually absorb the urine and not get contaminated. Great souls can be like that. But can others imitate Prabhupada? Prabhupada said, arrange a vehicle. We are leaving immediately in the morning, he said. 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock. But Prabhupada, the host will be upset. Prabhupada said, no, tell the host, our health is not good. Many devotees are having health issues. Another time we will come. Immediately, 7 o'clock, they packed up everything and left. One night, one morning, they stayed. 3-day program, they cancelled it. Went back to Juhu. So I am telling you, to eat palatable dishes in restaurants and outside in karmi people's homes and sweetmeat shop, anywhere buying and eating, it's very bad. It will be very degrading. Sometimes devotees think, I can buy anything anywhere and just say Hare Krishna and eat it. It doesn't work like that. Huh? Actually, the food should be cooked with the intention of offering to Krishna. And that too with love. He says, Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam Yome Bhaktya Prayachati Tadaham Bhakti Upakritam Ashnami. Two times the word Bhakti is used. Huh? It has to be blended with Bhakti. That's the most important proportion, item that Krishna expects. So, ideally speaking, the vegetable should be cultivated by a devotee, it should be sold by a devotee or brought by a devotee, it should be cut by a devotee, cooked by a devotee, offered by a devotee and served by a devotee, eaten by a devotee. That's the most ideal, which is very rare. At least, we have to ensure that the cooking, and while cooking, the consciousness goes into the cooking. Like if you buy biscuits and eat in the train and other places, the biscuits are made in machines. And the machine is operated by operator who presses a switch. It's a karmendriya, correct, no? Using a karmendriya, so karma goes into the biscuit. Because he's using a karmendriya to start the machine and do a business. And he is selling the biscuits with what mentality? Business mentality, profit mentality. So then naturally you also become very money-minded, business-minded. Whenever after eating the biscuits, when you look at people, say, what is in it for me? Isse kya milega, usse kya milega, what else? You will always be in a selfish mode. If you want to develop a selfless attitude, then we have to actually eat from the hand of devotees who have cooked it with love for Krishna. There are many Matajis in their homes. They put on a nice Hare Krishna Kirtan, or they are hearing a lecture of the spiritual master, and they are cooking. While cooking, their consciousness is completely absorbed in it. They are remembering Krishna. And then, that's how Vajibhasis do all their activities. Vajibhasis are simple village women, village folk. They are, churning butter, they are boiling the milk, they are attending to the needs of children. Sometimes they are milking a cow. It looks like an ordinary village. But the only difference is their heart is fondly remembering Krishna with love. So, that is the way it is supposed to be cooked. And one should not eat unoffered food. And we should not eat in an unscheduled way. This is one big problem. In India, what happens? You have just now eaten lunch, say 1 o'clock. And you go to somebody's home at 2:33 and immediately they want you to eat a big meal and you tell them, no, I just had a lunch, you say. No, we have lovingly cooked for you. And they say that we eat at 10:30 in the morning, breakfast, and then our lunch is only at 3 only. Hum log 3 baje khaate hain, aap sahi time par aage. We are all going to eat and you also should accompany, you should give us company. And you also fear that, they are sentimentally pulling me. And if I don't, cooperate with them, they will feel hurt, offended. So we also fear. Then we go to sit in the table along with them. And we tell them, thoda, little, give me little, I can't eat much. But then they put more. You know that you have no place in the belly. Still people eat, correct, no? People eat like that. So one thing that we as devotees should know is actually we should have timing for eating. And while going to somebody's home, you have to plan the timing and all in advance. Don't end up going to somebody's home exactly at the time when they're eating. And they will also feel uneasy to eat in front of you without offering you. Correct, no? And also, one can tell them, you all eat, but I'll give you company by just eating some salads. Correct, no? You can also sit with them. Take some cucumber, some beetroot, some boiled beetroot or cucumber, some few items. Just sit with them, talking, joking. Along with it, just slowly eat the salads. Don't quickly finish it. Otherwise, they'll bring another big plate for you. So, in this way, unscheduled times eating is not a very good idea. And also, sometimes small children may eat in unscheduled times till the age of 10, 12 or something like that. They are growing children. But once you come to a teenage, it's very important to cultivate the discipline of eating at scheduled times. Unscheduled eating leads to ulcers in the mouth. And also it leads to eventually stomach problems, many complications. Yeah. Read it.
Six kinds of urges of tongue. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's commentary.
Yeah. Tam. He says this. See, he talks about the dead bodies, and Tamaguna people eat dead bodies. Rajaguna people eat very, very spicy items and everything. So he's giving the different type of... I have shown you pictures in the next slide. It will be more clear. You can see here, sattvic prasadam, most suitable for Krishna consciousness. So we have shown the characteristic of the food in sattva, rajas and tamas. Please read the sattva. What is the characteristic?
Sweet, juicy, fattening and palatable.
Yeah. See, these foods are like milk, sugar, rice, and then vegetables and fruits, cereals, all naturally offered gift to man. It's Krishna's gift. So, these are all vegetarian items. When offered to Krishna, it becomes prasad. And one should consume this. And this will actually calm the mind. Ahara shuddhav, sattva shuddhi. Sattva shuddhav, dhruva smriti. Smriti lambe, granti naam vipramokshaha. He says that by eating such sattvic ahara, you will become granti naam vipramokshaha. You become free from all bondage. Mind becomes very calm. Sattva shuddhi means your mind becomes cleansed by eating such foods. Very simple foods, and you actually will feel satisfaction. Some people may wonder, by eating these foods will I get strength? I don't want to become too much like a brahmana. I need some passion to work in the world. But what about elephant? Elephant is a vegetarian or non-vegetarian? Does he not do big work? Lifting big woods. And look at his body. What size is the body? He only eats grasses. Pure vegetarian. And he's having large, strong and gentle body. And he does a lot of hard work. He can even uproot a tree. There is a true story of one big soldier in the army was called by his boss, army chief officer, and chastised. I heard that you are a Hindu boy, coming from a Hindu family, and you will not touch meat. He said, keep all these things in your home. You are now a joint army. You know, you have to eat well because you may have to fight with the opposite enemies, isn't it? So he said, sir, I have enough strength to fight even with vegetarianism. And he quoted the example of the elephant also. So then the boss said, oh, you are a very intelligent boy. Okay, let me keep a competition between you and one meat-eating soldier. Both of you are the same size. Let us see who wins. If you win, we will give you, instead of one glass of milk, we will give you one in the morning, one in the night. Two glasses we will give you. But if he wins, then you have to agree to eat meat. So then there's a malyuddha they kept. And the vegetarian boy won. And then the boss had to change his mind. Then he gave him two glasses of milk in a day. Additionally, he gave him. In army, they give you a specific quantity. What time, how much. Each fellow will be allotted a coupon kind of thing. So he allotted him more. And this boy later on went to the Indo-Pak war. And he got a Paramvir Chakra. Once they were showing in TV about the Paramvir Chakra, this boy's family members got it. So that time they told about this boy. So I am saying this, there are people eating food in goodness and they can be pretty strong. And read the second one, characteristic in passion.
Too bitter, too sour, salty, pungent, dry and hot.
So, and also you see the items like fish and eggs and meat. And pakoda and bhaji and occasionally little bit quantity may be all right. These are very fine foods. Fried foods. These fried foods should be very rare. Once they go into belly, they create a lot of problem, fried foods. Like sometimes you are seeing in the train, they carry bhaji. Kama, 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 smell is coming, na? You have seen that? And they're carrying a bhaji, or bhaji, pakoda also. Pakoda, bhaji, samosa, all these things give a fragrant, nice smell. People who are doing some work in the train, reading, as soon as they get the smell, they will call him, immediately come here. Or vada pav with chili powder, along with the mirchi, this also. Chili also, isn't it? So, already red powder is there, chili powder, along with that he gives. Two chilies also he gives along with. So, when you take it all that and put into the system, later on, the effect will be shown in the next slide. Now the characteristic is said. The third one?
Tasteless, stale, putrid, decomposed and unclean.
Yeah. These are stale foods. Like even the liquor. What is liquor? Liquor means the grapes are put underground for many, many years. Then they take out that fermented grapes which have become very dry and then they make liquor out of it. So you will find that in this way, and also foods kept for a long time, people keep eating. Like Like here is very horrible picture is shown. Eh? Yeah. So what is the result of eating? Just see, read it.
Goodness increases the duration of life, purifies one's existence and gives strength, health, happiness and satisfaction.
Yeah.
Passion causes pain, distress and disease. Causes misery by producing mucus in the stomach leading to disease.
Yeah. What is fellow suffering from? Gastric trouble, indigestion, constipation. He is suffering from all that, yeah. Passionate foods do this. Yeah, and then?
Ignorance increases infection or disease.
Yeah. Why infection comes? Because many of these meat and other items, they take long time to come out. Because our intestine is 30 feet long. Whereas tiger's intestine is just this much long. And tiger's gastric juice is 20 times more concentrated than human. So it immediately digests and throws it out. Whereas in our case, it has to go through a long course. So it gets diseased. So in diseases, he feels severe pain. So these are the results of eating these three types of foods. Yeah, example, source of proteins. Yeah.
Goodness. Milk products, sugar, rice, wheat, fruits and vegetables.
Yeah.
Source of proteins, split peas, dal, whole wheat, etc. Source of fat, milk, butter, cheese.
Yeah.
In passion, food overly mixed with red pepper, coffee, tea.
Yeah, in all ignorance. These things, yeah. Coffee contains caffeine, tea contains nicotine, they're all drugs. Cocoa also contains a drug. So one should avoid the drug-based items because they will, already we are in bodily consciousness, we will go further degraded down. And also such chili powder and everything, it burns while eating and burns while passing stool also, both. Yeah, then ignorance, yeah.
Consuming food cooked for more than 3 hours earlier. Untouchable things like meat, liquor, egg, animal fat, etc. Remnants of food, uchistam.
Yeah, so one should avoid such kinds of dirty items. Some boys ask, can we eat ahimsak eggs? What is ahimsak egg? I found out. Ahimsak egg means it is that egg doesn't hatch at all. It remains like that only. So they say because it is not going to hatch, so it's ahimsak. Like this, I'm not killing any hen. But how is it formed? If you see, it's formed in the menstrual fluid of the hen, I mean of the cock. It's very impure, dirty thing inside. So because it is so impure, one should not eat it. Similarly, meat, liquor, all these things are degrading one's consciousness. So they are unfavorable for spiritual life. So I have put it in red and black. They both have to be given up. Only yellow one should be taken. That's the goodness one, yeah. So I've given them all in one table here. So sattvic prasadam means the goodness one, and when it is offered to Krishna, it becomes proper, for eatable. Yeah, read it.
Arjas of the body, tongue, belly and genitals. There are 6 kinds of prasads, tests, salty, bitter, sour, pungent, sweet and astringent. Being agitated by one of them, one becomes controlled by the urges of the tongue and then the other. By accepting only Krishna Prasad, one can get free from Maya's victimization.
Yeah. So, we have to eat Prasad. In that Prasad also, we told you that one should not eat very fine quality Prasadam also. If one eats very fine, then tongue gets aggravated, titillated and demands more. And one also should not eat too much quantity of prasad. So, because if we eat too much quantity, what is the result? See the result. What is the result? Do you get energy after eating? Laziness, lethargy. One goes to sleep. That's the result of too much eating. So, we don't eat too much. Similarly, if you eat very fine for the titillating for the tongue, then what is the problem? It aggravates and you want, then you become greedy. It makes the tongue greedy. And you want more and more. Will you ever be satisfied? No. We demand more. Okay, somebody may say, okay, Prabhu, let me be greedy. Let me get more and more item in it. What is the problem? Say, I eat many, many gulab jamuns, many, many rasagullas, many, many samosas, many, many pakodas. What is the problem? Let the tongue be agitated. I am a rich man. I have enough money. I can eat a lot. Then what happens? No, not dizziness. When you, diseases. Correct. When you overeat, that leads to dizziness. And then you finally eat, that leads to diseases. Correct, no? Then what happens when a devotee gets disease? Then the time that is otherwise meant for Krishna service, that is being spent to the hospital. Not only hospital. Going to hospital, coming from the hospital, eating medicine, lying down. You know, that means instead of rendering service to Krishna, you are maintaining the bodily machine. All energy time goes in that. That's why both fine eating and overeating, both are problematic. Now go ahead.
Result of following these instructions. When one is fully practiced in the methods of Krishna conscious control, he can become qualified to be a bona fide spiritual master.
Krishna conscious control actually means what? Oh Krishna, let me be very careful with all this type of things. I want to go back to Godhead. I am not here to pamper this body. I am here to use this shariram kaladharma sadhanam. Let me use this body to go back to Godhead. That's what we should think. So here some strong instructions are given for those in the renounced order like brahmacharis and sannyasis. Read the first one. Should not listen. Prema Vivarta says this. Should not listen to or talk about ordinary worldly things. For example, a brahmachari sannyasi, even people expect that they speak spiritually, transcendentally, something inspiring and elevating in spiritual life. People want that, isn't it? So they should not be interested about talking about politics, talking about the ordinary worldly subjects like some cinema actor or actress or some cricketer or in the worldly people may be watching TV, IPL, but a brahmachari should not be eager, let me also watch. His old vasanas cannot come back. He should be able to transcend all that. That because he has given his life for glorification of the Lord. So he has to give up the ordinary worldly things. Generally people talk about sports, cinema and politics. They are all impure from the point of view of somebody in the renounced order. Those people who are grihasthas, they may need to talk a little bit about, they need to read the newspaper or watch TV to know about what is the political situation. They may have to keep a little bit abreast. But they also don't need too much. If they get into those things too much, then their spiritual life will be lost also.
Should not talk about worldly things while meeting others. Do not think of woman even in dreams.
That means sadhu is supposed to remain pure. It's making noise. Do not think of women even in dreams. So, sadhu should think of all women as mothers. So, if somebody is dreaming about a woman, it's likely that he may be imagining of making a plan for enjoying with her. In the Bhagavatam purport, Prabhupada writes, if a brahmachari thinks that a woman's voice is sweet and her face cut is beautiful, there is a mental fall down of a brahmachari. Prabhupada says that in one of the purports. Actually, a brahmachari should see all women like goddess of fortune, Lakshmi. You should see, they are all Krishna's energies. Prabhupada told the brahmacharis in America, you should see all these devotee girls, you should see them as gopis of Krishna, who are all assistants to Radharani. So then you will not think of trying to enjoy them. Rather, you will see them with eye of respect. Woman should be given the due respect as Mataji.
You have accepted the renounced order of life with a vow that forbids you to associate with woman. Always remember the incident of Chota Haridas. Do not eat luxurious dishes or dress in fine garments.
There was in Chota Haridas, associate of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was banished by Mahaprabhu because of his throwing an improper glance on one Madhavi Mata. And then he had brought rice from her to be cooked for Lord Chaitanya. When Mahaprabhu ate that rice, put in the mouth, immediately he said, who brought this rice? They said, Chota Haridas brought. Where did he bring from? He said, from Madhavi Mata. So immediately he said, this is impure. He immediately understood that he had a improper, like we say, evil eye, Bura Nazar, we say. Mahaprabhu immediately rejected him, banished him from the company of devotees and said he cannot live with Vaishnavas here because of such improper conduct. Mahaprabhu is generally very, very merciful. So therefore Mahaprabhu is called Patita Pavan, not Kapata Pavan, it is said. So we are all in Mahaprabhu's movement. We have to be very, very, very faithful. So therefore that example is given here. And then he says, don't eat luxurious dishes, because if you eat luxurious dishes, as I told you, you will get diseases or you will become lazy. and you will not do devotion service. And similarly, don't dress very glamorously. Don't dress like that. Why? If you dress very glamorously, you will unnecessarily attract others' attention. Your consciousness also becomes too much bodily conscious by dressing very glamorously. Even a Brahma, Grihasthas, when they dress also, they may dress for the occasion. But overly glamorously dressing is not proper for any devotee, even in Grihastha Ashram. Like you will see Prabhuji, Mataji, they dress modestly. You know, modestly dressing means cover your body properly. Women cover their head also properly. And you are not dressing for all people to see you. You are dressing to cover your body. Like Mataji, Prabhuji go to your temple, husband, wife. You know, they should allow people to take whose darshan? Krishna's darshan or their own darshan? Yeah, Krishna's darshan, no? Imagine if somebody is dressing very glamorously, jig-jig-jig-jig-jig, and going to temple, and they come into the temple, then everybody's attention goes on them. Correct, no? And then instead of taking Lord's darshan, getting inspired, they will get polluted and go back. Correct, no? Therefore, we don't want to attract people to ourselves. So, dress very modestly. Similarly, one should cover the body properly. And also,
always remain humble and serve their Lordship Shri Shri Radha Krishna in your heart of hearts.
Yeah. So, it's a very, very beautiful verse. Balana kaive, balana padibe, hridete sarvada, Radha Krishna sevibe, gramya varta nashinibe kane, gramya varta na kahibe. Very beautiful verses. All are listed very nicely. Don't talk like materialistic people. Don't hear the materialistic talks. And don't eat luxuriously. And don't dress attractively. And always remember Shri Shri Radha and Krishna and chant the holy names of Hare Krishna. And deal with all women with great respect. Like a mother, treat them. So these are all Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave instructions to Jagadananda Pandit. Beautiful instructions. Yeah. Now, once you live a life in Sattvaguna, then going to, Shuddha Sattva, beyond three gunas is very easy from there. And you have to do this. Sadhu Sangha Nama Kirtan Bhagavata Shravan Sri Maturavasa Shri Murtira Shraddhaya Sevan. Like that he says, five Panchanga Bhakti, five potent forms of devotion service. Like in villages sometimes if something falls into your well, say a bucket or something fell, they have five hooks like this. You have seen that like a starfish, it will be like this, yeah. So they will put a rope here and throw in. When they put it in water like this, at least one of the hooks will catch the one of the buckets, this thing, and then when you pull it up, if it is becoming very weighty, that means bucket is coming up. Correct. Similarly, this Panchanga Bhakti, if it is administered by a temple, at least one hook will catch somebody and make them devotees. Sadhu Sangha, some people are attracted to Saintly People Association. They regularly hear the lectures from them. Nama Kirtan, some people like chanting of the holy name or Sankirtan. Bhagavata Shravan, some people like to come and sit in the Bhagavat class. And Maturavas, that means making the home into a temple. And Srimurtira Shraddhaya Sevan, worshipping the deity form of the Lord. Some people faithfully do and they advance in bhakti. So all the five are very important. And we can transcend the modes. Even a Grihastha can successfully do these five and go back to Godhead in the very life with all family members. Yeah. Okay, read it.
Urge of stomach, Udara Vegam, problem, stomach disease.
You see that fellow has a big belly, huh? The button is going to break now. Yeah. Yes, yeah.
When we desire to eat more than necessary, we automatically create many inconveniences in life.
Yeah. Achha, many inconveniences, he says. What is that inconvenience? If you overeat, then you will always tend to overeat more and more and more. Always. Then you have to spend more for overeating. Then after overeating, you feel tired. You feel like this. So imagine you have a heavy food and then go and sit in a class. Then what happens? You feel asleep like this. You feel very tired, isn't it? Then many devotees really, Prabhuji, some people may wake you up. You may feel embarrassed also. Correct? And then you think, let the class go on. Only Jayaradha Madhava is going. I'll quickly go and take a 5-minute nap. And then I'll come back. Once the stoka reading is over and class starts, I'll come back. Then what happens? You don't get up for 1.5-2 hours. you are gone. In those days, we used to give prasadam first and then have Bhagavatam class. No. My Lord, people, you know, uttapa, some heavy, some prasadam, they would eat very heavy and then chowming and everything, you put in the belly, come and sit and you'll get, you'll be falling. So some one preacher was telling in Pune, Prabhuji, don't give any prasad before the class. Let them hear the class very nicely and then feed prasad. Then you change it now. So, in this way, and also what happens, okay, even if class is not there, imagine you ate prasad and the lunch, 1 o'clock you ate and 2 hours you slept off after lunch. That means your Krishna service time gets wasted, affected. And also sleeping in the day, sleeping in the night, one is going to grow fat. Body becomes fat, we get obesity. And also very stomach diseases come because of overeating in the belly. And then you have to go to doctor, then you have to spend money for the medicine, then you have to get miseries in the body. Therefore, precisely he is saying many inconveniences. That one word is enough. You don't have to explain, you understand. Yeah. And what is the solution?
Eat only prasad. Control the tongue by supplying prasad. Observe fasting days like Ekadashi and Janmashtami to restrain the demands of the belly.
Here is a way to train the belly not to overeat. Ekadashi day you tell the belly that today you will get only one time prasad. When? Fast till noon and then you get 12:30, you get one feast. That's all. Morning and evening just to take some fruit juice or something light and then chant all day very nicely. Like that you can train the belly. And but again the point of regulation, correct? No? Ekadashi I take very light and chant more rounds, then gradually the belly will get regulated. And the beauty of our Vaishnava lifestyle, many festivals come like this, Janmashtami, Radhashtami, Balram Jayanti, Acharya's Appearance Day, there is fasting till noon. So there is some kind of training to cultivate fasting habit. It's not good to be feasting all the time. There should be some time for fasting also. In fact, even doctors prescribe people that if you want to flush out your body, you fast. Actually, why? Because some people have overeaten and then when you fast, all the unnecessary things which are inside also get burnt. They are all removed. Even they say that. Even doctors say that. But here, so they are saying it for a healthy body, we are saying it for a spiritual advancement. There's a big difference. If somebody is fasting on a fasting day only for a good health, that means he gets only mundane benefit, material benefit. But if you are fasting and chanting more, singing more Vaishnava songs or reading Bhagavatam, you are doing it for as a Krishna Seva, then you make spiritual advancement, isn't it? And then, okay, that was about the belly. So, urges of the tongue and belly are over. Now, let's go to the Upasthavegam, last one. Please read it.
Urges of genitals, Upasthavegam. Problem, unnecessary involvement.
Yeah. You see, the belly, the genitals are actually Jananendriya. It's given by Krishna for the sake of begetting children. And that is the main purpose. One purpose is to pass urine, another purpose is to beget children. To give the virya to the woman, to beget the children. Whether it is man or woman, this is one urge that everyone has to restrain also, because the Shastras have given a lot of information about this. You see, the male form is created in such a way that right from young age as one grows, certain age when the hormones secrete, we say, teenage or something like that. But you will see in that age, if one is allowed very good training, put in a training program where he keeps away from women, thoughts of women, and associating with women, and he is very focused in study of the scriptures, associating with saintly people, then the dormant semen in his body from the top of the head to the tip of the toe, it's all in like a steam and all over the body. So he becomes a very vibrant fellow. He becomes very vibrant. You will see, sir, it's not an exaggeration, there are many, many saintly people who have been Naishtika Brahmacharis. Even though they might have become 60 or 70 or 80, still they have great effulgence, they have great energy, they have Viveka Buddhi, they have Dharana Shakti, they have Vichara Shakti, and they have Ojas, they have Tejas. So the Ojas, what is this Ojas? Ojas is developed as a spiritual aura in a person who has restrained the sex organ. And then the semen, instead of flowing downwards, which is the general trend for all the people who get into low-class thinking of man-woman relationship. Actually, in this world, although men and women are differently, the body appears to be different due to which they are mutually attracted, actually all the jivas in this world are called Prakriti. There is only one Purusha. Who is it? Krishna. Everyone else is female only, Prakriti only. It's like, you know, but you see that because the male-female bodies are there. Why? Because Radha and Krishna are male and female body. Krishna expands himself as Radharani. And because he has only expanded as Radharani, Radha Krishna Ekatanu, it is said. Tui Deha Dari. Anyone Vilasa Kare, Aswadana Kare, it is said. So because of that, there is a very strong mutual respect and devotion and attraction principle between Radha and Krishna. So Radharani is the greatest devotee and Krishna is the greatest Bhagavan. That attraction is there. So, but the attraction has not even a tinge of sexual attraction, like what we find in this mundane world. But because of that, in this world, some jivas are wearing dress like Krishna, their bodily dress, and some jivas are wearing dress, bodily dress like Radharani. So they start, these fellows start thinking, I am Purusha, and she is meant for my enjoyment. Ultimately, the energy cannot enjoy energy. Only energetic can enjoy energy. So in a female body, Atma is there. Is he energy or energetic? Energy. He's energy. And in a male body, there is another jiva. He is which prakriti? Apara prakriti or para prakriti? Apara prakriti. Para prakriti. Jiva is... see, material energy is apara. Material body is... this is apara prakriti. And the soul is... para prakriti. Yeah. So we are... but we are tatastha shakti. So we are called tatastha shakti only. We are not shaktiman. Who is shaktiman? Krishna, yeah. So only Krishna can enjoy the jivas. He can actually, the jivas can serve him, and he is a swami. So one energy cannot enjoy. For example, my this hand is one part of the body. This hand is another part of the body. Now if I take Mysore Pak in this hand and Laddu in this hand, and they both come together and say, let us enjoy with each other. Without giving the belly, can they enjoy? So he feeds the Laddu to him, he feeds Mysore Pak to him, and they are both doing like this. Can they enjoy? That's how man and woman are trying to enjoy in this world. Therefore they get frustrated. It's not possible. But if a husband and wife, instead of trying to enjoy like that, if they both serve Krishna, which is the belly, when they both serve, therefore my spiritual master used to say, between the couple, there should be divine couple. And who is the divine couple? Radha and Krishna, Sita, Ram, Lakshmi, Narayan. Then can be a happy family. One thing is true, that the jivas, when they occupy the bodily dress of the material body, they have inclination for the opposite sex, and that inclination is given a vent, a very decent and civilized vent in the form of married life. Okay, you are a jiva in the male body and you are a jiva in female body, you are feeling mutual attraction. Krishna is so kind, he has made the shastra in such a way, dharma aviruddho bhuteshu kamosmi bharatarshapa. He says, okay, sex life also can be made a religious sex life. How? Marry one woman and then you both come together and unite and beget children. You are allowed to use your upastha vegam, use of genitals for begetting children. And then raise the children in Krishna consciousness. But if one is not living such a civilized relationship with a husband wife, like here you see all these young boys and girls, they are freely mixing with each other and they are all watching different YouTubes and different porn kind of things and all. So when they load their head with all the dirty stuff from all over the world, you know, Hollywood, Bollywood movies and everything, then naturally what they are taking in, that agitates the genitals. That aggravates the genitals. And then one wants to satisfy the genitals which clamor for sex life. Then one is looking for a partner. That's the next thing. Then one may go to one partner, get frustrated, go to the second partner. Basically, kutta billi business. Especially in teenage nowadays. A boy says, she is my girlfriend, and the girlfriend runs with another boy. Then he takes another girlfriend. Basically, you can say another dog. You go behind one dog, going to another dog, third dog, fourth dog, fifth dog. Everybody has 2 dozen dogs. Nowadays, they are shameless people. Whole world is becoming extremely polluted by this loose man-woman free mixing. In the Bhagavatam it is said women are given the free choice to choose a husband, but free mixing is not allowed. A girl can go to the father and say, "Oh father, that boy is a very good character. He is a responsible boy. He is very well educated. I know him personally in the college or school, and then I know he has got a good job. He settled there. And in case my horoscope matches with him, if you give me in marriage to him, I will be happy. And in case the horoscope doesn't match, you are all not happy. You can give me to anybody you wish. But it is my just humble. Of course, no girl will tell the father. She will generally tell the grandmother. And the grandmother, who is father's mother, she will call the son and say, "I have one very good match for your daughter. Please see the horoscope match and everything." And then, in case it matches, father may never come to know that my daughter had attraction for the boy. It's all decided by grandmother and her son. Like that it is done. It was allowed in those days. But nowadays people are doing free mixing. This culture is a very... So boys have become completely impotent because of loose mixing and sex life. And they have become like females. And females have become like males. The modern extreme pollution because of misuse of genitals. There is one verse which says, "Yanna brajantagabido rajana anuvadat Shrinvanti yenne vishaya kukata matignihi yastu shruta hata bhagai nriviratta saras tham kshipanti asharaneshu tamas suhantaha." Brahmaji is telling, alas, people are not hearing Krishna katha, they are hearing kukata, because of which the result is they are hearing about anya vishaya, materialistic things, reading cinema magazines, watching movies, reading dirty stuff, pornographic stuff and things like that. So they are getting extremely polluted. And he is saying that they are falling down to hell, losing all good fortune. Like that Brahma is saying, alas, he is saying. So, read for the solution.
Solution, used only to beget Krishna conscious children. Two types of urges of genitals, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Legal, proper. Marry according to the Shastras and beget Krishna conscious children.
That is legal, yeah.
Illegal, improper. Should be avoided.
Which means sex before marriage, sex outside marriage should be avoided. Sex before marriage means in college days, it all begins with a handshake and ends with abortion and everything in between. You can see that everywhere. It's such a horrible thing it is. So those who are Krishna conscious devotees, they may be ignorantly or innocently, they might have been connected to some member of the opposite sex. As soon as you become a devotee, you come to 16 rounds or 8 rounds, we should wake up and immediately inform the other person that I am very sorry. I have been roaming with you to movie, party, everywhere. Actually now I am becoming Krishna conscious. Mataji, Hare Krishna. One should deal with them respectfully. Or in case one has gone too far in the relationship, then one should properly get married to that lady and settle subsequently. But there is no scope for keeping a connection with opposite sex before marriage, hanging around here, hanging around there, doing wrong things. There is no allowance. So we have a very simple formula, you can remember, PPFF. That means boy, girl should not treat one another very personally. Or privately means when no one else is there, in a dark place, alone, one should not meet boy and girl. Never privately, never personally. Personally means what? Like we are not so fanatical that we will say, you can never talk to a woman. We are not like that. That is another type of extreme. Like in a college class, a boy may take some notebook from a very intelligent girl, or he may give his notebook or books. Or they may sometimes, boys, girls may sit together and talk about career. Sometimes they may have to do their project together. But what is the meaning of personal? Personal means the boy gets too intimate. For example, he's taking a notebook from her and says, "Oh, your notebook, I found it very meaningful. I found it very valuable. You made very good notes. I just had to photocopy it. And I can study for the exam and just vomit it. That's all. Thank you so much. That is perfect." But somebody says, "Oh, your handwriting were like pearls. And not only your handwriting is beautiful, your face is also beautiful." Then you become personal, yeah. And private means what? There is nobody you are in a place where there is nobody, only you and her. That is private. And FF means frivolous. One should not talk any frivolous talk with the opposite sex. Frivolity. What is frivolity? Frivolity means, for example, with boys you may sometimes be a little casual in talking, occasionally. Boy and boy, girl and gal may sometimes occasionally little bit talk very in a friendly, jovial mood, joke and all. But with women, one should never be frivolous. Frivolous actually means loose in speech. It's not very good. Because women are emotional, they may misunderstand your speech. If you say somebody, if a girl says, actually I am, my father is trying for a boy, last 6 months he's trying, he's not able to get a match, he's saying. And the boy says, anyway, don't worry, I am always there, if you don't get anybody, I am there. And she may say, what? I thought you were just a friend. I never thought of you as a prospective husband. We were just friends. What is your caste? What is my caste? Father, mother may not agree. And he may say, no, I was just joking. It's not a joke. One should not talk frivolously such things. And last F is familiarity. One should not become unnecessarily familiar with the opposite sex. And therefore, in the Vedic times, the boys, girls were never allowed to mix after the age of 11. They may play together as small kids up to the age of 10. 11 onwards, they should be separated and they should be focusing on, their lives individually. All boys should be playing together, girls should be playing together. And by that, because what happens, like you see this magnet principle, it is shown, that lady is now pulling him now, like a magnet. And this fellow, there was one boy who spent practically 8 lakh rupees on a woman. Can you imagine? That lady is a married woman and this boy used to take her in bike here, there. Basically her husband was, what do they call it, domestic abuse they call it. The husband was beating her. She used to cry. So she used to cry to this college boy. Not a college boy, working boy. Unmarried working boy. Who was a very soft-natured boy. So this lady would come and confide to him. He was living upstairs, she was living downstairs. And he would hear her, counsel her. And then little money she would be taking. My husband is not giving for this, I want for this. And they took her on the bike here to some advocate there. Eventually he ended up spending how much? 8 lakhs. She practically looted him. In the course of helping her, they both physically came too close. When the husband came to know, he said to the boy, I'll murder you. It became a very complicated case. So therefore, a man should not try to solve a woman's problem. A woman is always under somebody. Like a woman is under father's guidance or under husband's guidance or under son. They are actually having a bharta or a protector. We should not interfere with anyone's life. Now what is the connection of woman to the genitals? There is a very strong connection. Therefore we are talking. Otherwise why are we talking? There is a very strong connection. From there only everything comes. It's connection. And apart from connection with woman, a man can do artificial sex, Prabhupada says. Artificial sex means like homosexuality or masturbation and things like that, called artificial sex. That is also considered illegal only. And His Holiness Bhaktisar Swami Maharaj was once giving a lecture, he was telling. He said, that sex which does not produce children is artificial sex. He said, for example, a male-male is doing something together, wrong things. Female-female is doing together. Does that interaction between male-male produces a baby? That means it is what sex? Artificial sex. Isn't it? And similarly, another thing, if a man is becoming agitated or watching pornography sites and all, then he is indulging in his genitals for releasing the semen. And by doing this, actually boy loses physical strength. He also feels guilty. Guilty feelings. It is not a pure act, because according to our Vedas, Rig Veda says, Maranam Bindu Patanat Jivanam Bindu Rakshanat. It says, if you lose the semen downwards, it leads to Maranam eventually for you. You are coming closer to death, it says. And Jivanam Bindu Rakshanat. If Bindu Rakshan, if you do, that gives you a longer duration of life and you get to vigor and cheer and strength and energy and viveka buddhi, ojas, tejas, everything you get. So the Vedas say that. So therefore, one should preserve it. the dhatu should not be thrown out. The virya is also a very important dhatu. Shukra, we call it. It should be only used for begetting children. Unnecessarily, one should not waste it. Many things could be said. I will... Please read it. Conclusion.
Conclusion. One who can control these six items, speech, mind, anger, tongue, belly and genitals, is a Swami or Goswami. Godas, servant of senses, versus Goswamis, master of senses. So text 1 recommends that give up the service of the senses to serve the Supreme Lord. Servant of the senses cannot become a servant of Krishna. Reference, Prahlad Maharaj says in Srimad Bhagavatam 7.5.13.
Madirna Krishna Paratasvatova Mito Vipadyeta Grihavratanam Adanta Gobir Vishatanta Mishram Punah Punascharvita Charvananam. So, here Prahlad Maharaj says that those people, those who are Adanta Go, uncontrolled senses, those who have, they will never listen to others' good advice. Even by conferences, if you explain to them, they won't understand it, nor will they grow. On their own also, they will not understand. They will simply enter hell. And repeatedly, they will keep on indulging in same type of sense gratification, like chewing the chewing gum over and over again. Chewing the sugar cane, which is already bitten and juice has been extracted again and again, you keep chewing it. It's like that. They'll be doing it. Similarly, the whole world is going in the route of Godas. We don't want to be like that. So all the senses which are mentioned in this first verse, we want to restrain them and engage them all in Krishna's service. Because this is the very first verse Rupa Goswami says, by restraining the six urges, you preserve and conserve lot of energy, shakti in your body. Like anger is also a lot of expenditure of energy. Anger, similarly, genitals, similarly eating habits, similarly mental exertions. So we can actually withdraw wasting these energies and conserve the energies and use that energy for serving Krishna and go back to Godhead. That's the goal. So let us take some questions now. So here is the first question. You can. Sometimes, here Vijay was asking from Bangalore, sometimes younger devotees ask how to see some senior Vaishnavas who take pizza, burger, etc., saffron. So like in Mayapur, etc., not in an offensive way, but as a question, what answer could we give to them? Can you please tell? Actually, it all depends on the lenience and the training that is given. Actually, I am saying many of the things because if one is very serious about spiritual life, then one should be taking care of these things. There are even places where, you know, some sadhus may be playing games also, volleyball, you know, football. And as they say that we need some bodily exercise. Actually, according to Vedas, if you want bodily exercise, you can do yogasanas. You can do Surya Namaskara. You can do swimming in Ganga. Or you can go for a stroll, for a walk. In a pleasant brisk walk, you can go from one place. All these are Vedic. Leaving that, imagine if some brahmachari say, we'll play cricket so that we can have a good strength. And they will not last long. I can guarantee you. They will not last long. That is not natural for a sadhu. Same manner eating. You know, actually you never knew what is pizza till you joined ISKCON. Most people. They have never heard about pizza. But now suddenly, you know, how did they become, how was the pizza awareness, pizza consciousness came? In this way, what happens sometimes after coming to ISKCON, you learn some unwanted things. Instead of giving up unwanted things, you learn more new things. For some countries, pizza is the staple diet for them. Which country? This thing? Italy? It is Italian, correct, no? Yeah, they may daily eat 3 times a day, just like South Indians eat idli every day. You know? Yeah, idli. So North Indians eat chapati every day. Correct? It may be staple food for them. But for us, it may not be, it's not a staple food. If pizza is made for everybody, all are eating, once in a while it is all right. But I'm saying that don't go for items, searching for it. Iti uti dhai. Our Ajay Gupta was asking, Prabhuji, you said that we should not eat pastries, pizza, burger, etc. But then, why do we keep it in Govinda's restaurants? For the new people. Because new people, this is the way they will be attracted to Krishna. Imagine you tell all the new people, we'll give you rice, dal, sabji, chapati, very simple diet, and one sweet gulab jamun or something. Who will come to Govindas? They will not be attracted. They are going to eat out in hotels. What all they get there? So we have to match with those hotels, provide nice items. So we provide. And then when they eat these things, then they hear, tang, they hear the bell from the temple. And they look, oh, there is Gopuram. Is there a temple? Say, yes, there is a temple. Then immediately they say, and you can tell them, please, let's go and take darshan. They come. And then gradually they get elevation. Correct, no? Then they eat the khichdi in the temple. They say, wow, this is also wonderful. Gradually, they get promotion from pizza to khichdi. Correct, no? Then they are happy with simple khichdi offered to the Lord. And also staple foods are good. See, I am not totally against these items. Once in a while, if it is served, everybody is given. You are not the only one. Once in a while, it's all right. But to go for searching after these things going, instead of searching after Krishna, we are searching after eating. Is that a good habit? Annamaya kosh. You're eating it. Where will I get this? I want to eat. I want. You know, that kind of greed should not be developed. How avirodha priti and virodhikta krodh, are two different reasons for anger. Avirodha priti leads to virodhikta krodh. No, although one leads to another. Like for example, avirodha priti, as he says, one is a strong metal attachments. Correct, no? So when the metal attachments are there, you curb them. At that stage only. Then it will not go to the second stage, which is virodha yukta krodh. Or you find that you have come to the virodha yukta krodh stage where, you know, you are developing great anger and frustration due to not getting something. Then at that time you have to curb the anger. Earlier there was only attachment, earlier. Now you have got anger also. Attachment plus anger. So virodha yukta krodh is a more development, more evolution of, you know, avirodha priti also. So we have to curb it at the avirodha priti level itself. Unnecessary metal, like 10th offense says that. And don't maintain metal attachments. At that stage you curb it, so that it won't go to the anger stage, like that he is saying. Okay, how one can be enthusiastic and have positive mental attitude towards following these rules which seems to be restraining? Prabhupada says that one should be enthusiastic about following the four eggs. How can one be enthusiastic about not doing something? As enthusiasm is generally for some action. Yeah, and that is because you understand your original situation. Originally, which place you belong to? Do you belong to this world or spiritual world? Spiritual world. So are you Krishna Das or are you Maya Das? Krishna Das. So how can you again return back to spiritual world and be happy forever? Therefore, Akash Prabhu, you are an SBN choice. That means you already know the philosophy. You have undergone Discover Yourself course and, you know, Game PT course also, Gita for All Medicine, EBG courses you have undergone. So you know the philosophy, you have gone through Sankalp Swarthi, Utkarsh camps and all. So after going through all these things, the right conclusion is this: sense gratification is poison. Sense gratification is degrading. Sense gratification is miserable. You heard this? Temporary, illusory, miserable enjoyment. Remember the word T-I-M-E. Temporary, illusory, miserable enjoyment. Is that what you want? If that is what you are thinking is wonderful, then you stay in this world forever. You can go on and on for many lifetimes. But if you are really understanding, I don't want temporary, I want permanent. I don't want illusory, I want real. I don't want miserable life, I want a happy and healthy life forever. Then you have to pay the price for it. No pains. So we follow these regulative principles. Why? For example, imagine you are eating eggs and you are eating meat. You are eating chicken, mutton. You are killing those creatures, poor creatures. They also have a soul in that body. You are torturing the souls. Now you become a devotee, like Murugari was killing before. Now you don't kill anymore. Is it not a progress? In the same manner, following four regs, actually following four regs will make you more and more bodily conscious. You will become, actually one boy recently wrote a mail to me saying that, sir, I don't want to marry because I want sexual freedom. And he explained it, what is it? I want to be like a playboy. I can enjoy with multiple women. Why only have one wife? You become very restricted. So what is your opinion about this? And I replied back saying that you just have to wait for some time to get animal body. I said, you will get it. And then that is a suitable body for this kind of attitude. You are unsuitable for a human body. Human body is for self-control and self-realization. Animal body is for sense gratification and suffering. Decide which one you want. It's your choice. Yeah, Krishna's Prabhu is asking from Bangalore. As grihasthas, can we honor food or prasadam from sattvam and such places, although they are from Ritviks, if you know that the bhoga is offered, not frequently, only occasionally, especially keeping in mind other family members who may not be devotees but wish to go out to a restaurant or even otherwise to take spouse and children occasionally. Occasionally it should be all right, I think. If there is no Govindas available, occasionally it should be all right, yeah. Dhaval Krishna Prabhu is asking, regarding food in ISKCON, there is a lot of confusion among devotees regarding what to eat on Ekadashi and what not to eat. Is there a standard guidebook which we can refer and follow regarding each item? This confusion is arising because some devotees mix ISKCON Ekadashi fasting with traditional Maharashtrian fasting customs, where they avoid many more items like turmeric, tomato. Actually, turmeric and tomato and all are avoided for other reasons. Because sometimes when you use the turmeric on Ekadashi days, it has a mixture of some other powders which are not proper. Anybody knows about it? There is a Ekadashi turmeric that you can use. Otherwise, even salt also. Ekadashi salt separately we use, Ekadashi turmeric, because the other turmeric and all may have some mixture of grains also. Therefore, we avoid. Actually, you can ask our kitchen department, they will tell you. If you write to Revadipati Prabhu or Antadipati Prabhu, they will connect you to kitchen department, they can give you. Pritesh Patra Prabhu is asking, can you please share how you spent your working life, your daily schedule, and how you managed your preaching engagements? Yeah. So, I used to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and 3:30 I am ready, and then 3:30 I will do some reading in the morning, like a half an hour or 45 minutes or so. And then after that, I get ready for the Mangalarti. And then one-man Mangalarti I used to do. Gradually, the children and the boys in the neighborhood started coming. Eventually, we had 20-25 people attending. Initially, I was alone. So, I had an altar. Then I do Mangalarti and everything. Sometimes, 3:30, 4:30, I will chant also sometimes, because I have to go for cooking in the kitchen during the chanting time. So, I will chant 1 hour. And then go for cooking. That's what I did when cooking became a very challenging thing. So, when three of us were there, then I would do reading and all in the morning, because we would take turns and do the cooking related service like that. And then, so morning time mostly goes in little bit reading and finishing the morning program and going to company at 8:15 I used to leave. My company was only between 8:30 to 4:30, that's all. I was working in Matharan Platt, British company in Pune. So 4:30 it will be over. So I'll be back in the room by 5 o'clock. So then every day evening I used to have one program at least. So as soon as I would come back at 5, I'll be flat. Very tired, because we got up very early in the morning. So half an hour I would be knocked out completely. Then I would get up, take a fresh bath and everything, prepare for the program and go for the program. And often I would come back at about 8:30 or so. Like that I would come back. But sometimes it will become 10 also sometimes, occasionally. When many people are asking questions. So every day I would go to different program like this, in the evening. So morning for our own sadhana and evening for preaching. That's what I was doing. Some youth programs, some congregation programs, some rich people program. Different kind of programs I was doing. Almost 4 to 5 programs I was doing in a week in those days. Later on, when Gauranga Prabhu came and Sudama Prabhu came, then it became very shared, it became very nice. I was eating very simple prasad. I used to make regularly upma in the morning, I used to make, and simple khichdi in the morning, and evening also again khichdi only in the evening. Then Gauranga Prabhu came and so I said, what are you doing? What kind of life is this? He saw the small vessels and he said, immediately they both went to market and got big vessels, and then started the era of rice, dal, sabji, chapati, everything, morning and evening. Evening was khichdi, yeah. Morning, chapati, sabji will pack and take for the company, and then rice, dal and sabji will eat in the morning, like that we did. So he also had many programs. We all had programs. Sudama Prabhu would assist him sometimes, sometimes assist me. Come with me for some program, go with him for some program. That's what we did. So three of us, we were reaching out to probably around 8 to 10 programs. In different places we were going, different days. That's how in Bajaj Auto, a few people became all initiated, very nice devotees. So to get boys from Bajaj Auto, I used to put a book table in Nigdi Krishna Temple. We used to put a book table. That's where all the Bajaj Auto boys would come for darshan. And Gaur Gopal Prabhu came there only. Our Sundar Krishna Prabhu, Gaur Gopal Prabhu, Narasimhan, Hari Kumar, they all became devotees there. We used to go to some colleges also. So, actually I feel strongly feel that our job should be a very decent job which doesn't tax too much. Especially for those who really want to preach. If your job is 8 to 8, then where is time for preaching? My job would be leaving me by 4:30. It was a good, decent job it was. Okay. Oh, it's getting very late. I didn't see the clock. 8:45 already. And how many more questions? Oh, really? Let us see whether... Okay. While doing devotion service, Srinivas Prabhu in Mumbai asked, while doing devotion service process of Lord Krishna, what is the importance of Smaran, Shravan, Kirtan, Smaran while chanting holy name? No, that will come in the future NOI verse, I will tell you. Shri Prabhu is asking, without having sex pleasure in spiritual world, it is impossible to have sex pleasure in material world. But as it is seen in this material world, it will not be seen in spiritual. Can you please explain? What are you talking? What do you think brahmacharis are doing? Are they doing sex in the material world? Even living in the material world, they are wearing saffron and whole life they are not touching a woman's body. Think about it. You are saying there has to be a copy here. Even in the material world, you see people who do sex who never do sex. Correct, no? If we can avoid sex as brahmacharis and sannyasis, why do you think people with Sachidananda bodies cannot avoid? Tell me. Is it not common sense? Sukadeva Goswami said the same thing to Parikshit. He said, carrying Lord Krishna in their hearts, the great saintly people can walk on the surface of the globe without any fear. They will never get agitated by opposite sex. They will never fall down. They can remain pure all their life, simply meditating on the beauty of Lord Krishna. They don't need the company of opposite sex. Even in this world, I am not talking about spiritual world. So, you see with your own eyes, in this world are people not living. If Brahmachari and Sannyasi doesn't need a woman, why does Krishna need a woman, tell me? Because carrying Krishna, they are able to control. That means how much more powerful he is. He is like a sun. We are like a small jugnu. Therefore, it's a common sense to understand. Actually, sex is a biological function for reproduction of children. It has nothing more sanctity to it. That's all it is. Simply for biological connection for reproduction of children. And love is of the heart. Even karmis know it. Therefore, they put a heart and an arrow they put. And spiritual world is based on love. Material world is based on lust. Therefore, there is sex. In spiritual world, there is no sex because everything is based on pure love. Love is of the heart, not of the genitals. Think about it. How to overcome past demonic activities easily. Okay, overcoming past habits, I have given a seminar in Behavioral Science for Youth. You go to that playlist, Behavioral Science for Youth, you will find that. I think two sessions, I think you can go through that. Prashant Prabhu is asking, we use Maharaj for sannyasis in ISKCON, but in Srimad Bhagavatam, Grihastha only uses this title. Prahlad Maharaj, Bali Maharaj. Oh, actually, Maharaj is a king. The word Maharaj is used for two people. One is the king of the land, another is king of the senses. So those are sannyasis are king of senses. And Bali Maharaj, Prahlad, they are king of land. Therefore it's used. Yeah. Okay. Swami Ranjan Pu is asking, we are working in material sectors to earn our livelihood and sometimes material discussion comes among the staffs. Then how to stay away from such matters? How to handle now? Yeah, you have to deal with some material things. Do it without taking their association. Do it as a business-like way with them. That's a part of your job, you see. Yeah. Last question. Since we are in Kali Yuga and this yuga is filled with more Maya, so is there any concessions given for our mistakes compared to the earlier three stages of yuga? Yeah, there is a concession. For the mental mistakes, there is no punishment. And for the desires which you have in your mind for serving Krishna, that is as good as serving Krishna, it is said. Kushalani asha siddhyanti na itarani kritani yat, it is said. Which means, Kushalani Ashusidyanti. If you desire to serve Krishna in some way, that desire itself is glorified and it bears a good fruit. And sinful activities, if you are thinking to do but you don't do it, there is no punishment for you. That it's not, it doesn't mean that you can go on thinking sinfully. A thinker will also speak and act. So we should avoid it. But there is a concession in Kali Yuga. That is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam. But one who chants the holy name will get rid of sinful thought process itself completely. One who chants very sincerely. Shri Prabhupada ki, Upadesha Amrit ki, Shri Rupa Goswami Pad ki.